Welcome, everyone. I am super excited to have with me today Matt McWilliams. And I'm just going to give you a quick intro so that you know what Matt is and what he's doing. So if you want to grow your influence, have a bigger impact, and make more money in the process, he is your go-to guy. Entrepreneurs and companies such as Michael Hyatt, Ray Edwards, Brian Tracy, Lewis House, Shutterfly, Jeff Goins, and Ziglar family have trusted Matt to run their affiliate launches. Matt helps online business owners and brands, small and large, to leverage the power of partners to grow their businesses. It teaches you how to make money as an affiliate and how to work better with affiliates. So welcome, Matt. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I think my intro is a lot cooler with a French accent.
All right, cool.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Well, I can do your intros if you want.
We'll just do that. We'll record a video. We'll take that. We'll just take what we recorded. Send me that. I'll crop it out. And we'll just have that play before I speak.
I'm happy to if you want to. Be my guest. Okay,
I'll start.
Yeah. So the reason I have you here, Matt, is because I think you have a lot to share with our audience. I was, you know, watching your videos, and of course, I know a bit about what you are doing. I don't know a lot of people that do affiliate marketing really, really well, and I definitely know you do that very, very well, and you teach it, so you have your own both sides of things. And I'm so happy to have you here. So I'm going to get started with a couple of questions that I have for you.
Yeah.
If that's okay. All right. So
awesome.
The first thing is, could you describe to us what it is exactly that you do and what you do it for and how you're helping people?
Basically. Yeah. So this is one of those questions. Like, I always have such a hard time answering with the general public. And so I'm going to assume that, you know, if you're watching, you have at least an understanding of what affiliate marketing is, because when I try to explain this to the in-laws, it never goes well. So I'm just like, you explain it. And my wife explains everything. And she does a great job of explaining what we do to people who don't know anything about internet marketing. But assuming that you at least have a basic understanding of what affiliate marketing is, our business is actually we got three areas of our business. Number one, we have, and I'll dig into them in a second. We have our client work. We work with clients you mentioned before, like Michael Hyatt, Ray Edwards, worked with Lewis House, Brian Tracy, and others. Then we have, our coaching and consulting side, which is essentially where I coach and consult people who want to run their own affiliate programs, but I don't really run it for them. And then the third side is our courses and our products. And right now, you know, it's our business is evolving. You know, last year it was 90% client work, 10% everything else. Our goal this year was to get to 50, you know, where client work only made up 50% of our revenue. Because the downside, you know, we're talking about lifestyle entrepreneurs. The downside to client work is there are certain days of the year and certain periods of time where it's like, I don't have that flexibility that I want. Now, that's not 365 days a year, and we're getting it down to less than 100. So that's a win, but I want to get client work to where we rely less and less on that for our revenue. So those three areas look like, you know, client work, we literally run the affiliate launches for our clients. And I made an intentional decision last year. We limited that to 5 clients. That's it. Like, that's all we work with is our 5 core clients. And it was one of those things, like, we said, okay, if these people came to us today, would we work with them? And if the answer wasn't absolutely, we just, you know, we had tough conversations with people and we got rid of some clients. And it's, if they're not already on our dream list, and I'll tell you, there's 2 people on the entire face of the earth that are on our dream list right now that we don't have. We have the other 5. We have 5 of the 7. If you're not on our dream list and you come to us right now, the answer is no. You know, we're not going to work with you. Now, the second component is that we do some consulting, which is essentially where I teach you how to do what we do. And in a very accelerated pace compared to our courses, we teach people how to run, you know, work with affiliates. And then the third component is our courses, which is more of a, you know, admittedly, like later today, I've actually got a call with some of our students where we teach people how to do 2 things. We teach people how to do what we do, but it's hands off. It's like, here's the course, independent study, And then we teach people how to do affiliate marketing. So we have a course called No Product, No Problem, where we teach people how to make money, you know, passive income and some active income with affiliate marketing. And I kind of missed, you know, the most obvious fourth part of our business is, you know, we do a lot of affiliate marketing.
Exactly. You know,
yeah. For us, that's actually, I literally just ran the numbers. I got a post-it note right here because we're updating a page on our website to talk about how much we made. And in the last calendar year, we made $113,392 in just in affiliate commissions. So that's awesome. Stuff where we didn't have to do, I mean, the great thing about affiliate marketing is the level of work that we put into it is very low compared to the return. I promise you, as a company, we did not spend more than 100 hours to make that $113,000. So it's a good ROI because we're not creating the product versus my courses. I know what goes into those. Be in front of a camera for about 100 hours to get the right takes and the right version. So I don't like making courses. I like having made a course, but I don't like making them. So that's our business in a nutshell. It's kind of those four areas. And they're, right now it's tilted toward client, but we're trying to get that down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so we do do affiliate marketing. Actually, few years back, that's kind of all we were doing, and we were doing really well at some point. It was not at all in the online marketing space, but we got basically burned by, you know, putting too many eggs in the same basket. Yep. And if something happens to the product, then you're in trouble because you are not in control. So that's definitely one of the issues, but I'm sure you're teaching that, and there are ways to
you touch prevent. On a good point there, Natalie. It's like, as much as I love affiliate marketing, I mean, I'm the affiliate guy. I have a podcast, I do 365 episodes a year on the Affiliate Guy Daily talking about affiliate marketing. I produce over 200 videos a year. I do live events and blog posts. I mean, like, okay, I like this stuff, right? In fact, I love it. It wakes me up. I'm passionate about it. And I still say that it shouldn't be all of your, you know, your revenue. Like for us, it's a large part of our revenue, but our affiliate commissions, that $113,000 is a little bit less than 25% of our revenue. So it's one of those things, if all of the affiliate programs we promote dropped us tomorrow, I'd be upset.
But you'd be okay.
Last about 48 hours because I have the other 77%. It's the same thing with our clients. Like if one of our clients quit, I would be disappointed. I'd be introspective. Like, why did they quit? What did we do wrong? But it doesn't affect whether or not we get to go on vacation next month. It doesn't affect whether or not my kids get to go to the school we choose for them, because it's such that any one client is effectively such a small percentage of our revenue. And that's what we have, is we have all these different revenue streams that none of them, there's not a single, like if you break our affiliate promotions down to individual programs, our clients down to individual streams, our products and all that, there's not a single stream of income we have that is anywhere close to 10% of our revenue. So
that is,
anything dried up, it's like, well, that sucks, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, for us, it was like 90% was like on one product.
Yeah.
And then we managed to rank number one in Google in front of them. Mm-hmm. And from that time, they were really mad and they did everything to basically not help us. So we decided to leave. So, but yeah, definitely. I think that's one of the keys with affiliate marketing is to diversify. And for us, it's definitely icing on the cake. So now, and you know, it kind of like takes a bit of time to build up that, you know, month recurring revenue that we have, because we do have affiliate on recurring products. So that is awesome. And I mean, when you get, you know, this payment every month and then it keeps growing and growing, that is a pretty awesome feeling. So for me, it's more like an ongoing work from the tools that I use every day when I build memberships and, you know, websites. And if it makes me money, that is awesome. If it doesn't, it's okay. It's not like going to be, like you said, the end of the world, but definitely icing on the cake.
Absolutely.
For us. So we are still, you know, big into affiliate. We believe in it, but we won't have all our whole business, you know, on that, definitely. And so one thing that I really liked that you said is that you are working on turning your business into, you know, talking about a lifestyle, like less one-on-one work and then more of maybe the consulting and maybe selling your online courses. Is that what you meant? Okay.
Yeah, you know, you and I were chatting right before this call, and I mentioned, you know, my family's going out of town for 2 days. This will be the first time that wasn't planned that I've ever missed a vacation. And mm-hmm. it's just right now we are in about a 20 day period that is like, it's our year, you know, like a large, I mentioned diversifying, but 15 to 20% of our revenue will be made in the next 20 days. Yeah. And so that for us, that is a large chunk, and I've just got stuff to do and it didn't make sense for me to go on this. I would like to get to, you know, the point where that's not the case. And I love the fact, you know, I work from home. So working from home means that I do have a certain level of discipline. I do have office hours, but it also means that sometimes at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, when my daughter asks me to go play soccer, it means I can. Yeah. To me, that's lifestyle. It's not about not working hard. I work hard.
Yes.
You know, it's about having that freedom. I think there's this, like if you, I've never done this, but I might try to, cause I'm kind of curious. I would bet, could be wrong, that if you Google lifestyle images or lifestyle entrepreneur, lifestyle business, and then went to Google images, what you're going to see is the cliche guy sitting in a chair on the beach. With his laptop out.
Yeah, I bet.
I think that's something to aspire to. That to me, that's not necessary. I think it's like, it's kind of like people thinking, okay, what I'm going to do in 6 months is be an Olympic sprinter. I don't know if you're going from like couch potato, like I'm not going to be an Olympic sprinter in 6 months. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I can do though, is I can get a lot faster and I can learn, you know, to run faster and get in better shape. And I think for me, lifestyle business is more about that. No one is telling me what to do and when to do it. Lifestyle business is that, you know, I'll give an example. My team call every day from 11:30 to approximately 12:15, I do while walking. I walk 2 miles every day while I'm on the phone. All of my consulting calls, if they're not video, I do while walking. Mm-hmm. There are days, there's 1 day a week where I log over 10 miles walking while working. Yeah. That's a lifestyle business. Like,
absolutely.
Most people don't get to walk 10 miles a day.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
To me, lifestyle business is a pretty good chunk of the days I eat lunch with my family. Mm-hmm. I very rarely do not eat dinner with them. I'd say 363 days a year I eat dinner with my family. Mm-hmm. In fact, the only days, actually it is a little bit less than that because I have a group I go to some Tuesday nights, but that's a whole different story. You know, lifestyle business is, to me, it's that. It's not necessarily, if that's your aspiration in life is to sit on a beach and work on a laptop, that's fine. To me, it's actually that, like, when I am working, I'm working. I've got, you know, I've got three monitors going here, one on each side, and like for some number of hours, it might be 4 some days, it might be 8 some days, and there's occasionally about 10 days a year where it's like 15. I'm all in, and I'm not thinking about anything but work. Mm-hmm. But the second that I click off, I'm done. For me, a lifestyle business, I'll tell you this fun fact about me, I don't own a smartphone. Yeah. In 2007, I was one of the first probably 50,000 people to get an iPhone. I had the original iPhone and we pre-ordered it from, I think it was from Sprint at the time, or AT&T. We pre-ordered it from AT&T because they had that exclusive and we got it. Like, we were one of the very first people at our company. We had iPhones. I noticed something ironic though, is that like I would leave the office at 6 o'clock, but I'd still be working at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'd still be working at 10 o'clock. Now I was single, so it didn't matter. Then I got married. She didn't like that.
No.
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
So I literally threw granted, I probably should have been less dramatic about it and, you know, could have given it to somebody, but I literally threw it into the woods. And I don't think it's down. Yeah, I got it. It's upstairs, so it won't ring in the middle of this. I've got a dumb phone that can't even access the internet. Nobody texts me. People know better. I get like one text every 6 months and it's usually from like my uncle mm-hmm. who's forwarding me a text. So when I'm off, I'm off. And that to me is what lifestyle business is. So I think there can be this misconception that says lifestyle business has to fit into this box. If I travel the world and I do this, and it can, it just doesn't have to.
Exactly. I think that's, that's exactly on point, exactly how I feel. Lifestyle, to me, lifestyle entrepreneurship is whatever you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And for some people, it's going to be, you know, working only in the mornings and having their afternoons off. For some people, it's working their butt off for 6 months and then taking 6 months off. So it's not necessarily being on the beach with your laptop. Actually, if I am on the beach, I don't want to be with my laptop.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, I mean, that's hard. Me. That's cliche. That's hard. You don't get much done. And what I'm learning right now as we are trying to be more efficient with in that lifestyle, because, you know, we feel we've been working too much, right? You feel like you left a 9-to-5 for 24/7, because there is always something to do in business. And when you're passionate about what you're doing and you always want to up level and go to the next step, there is always something to do. So what I found is really lifestyle entrepreneurship is more about setting some rules and saying, you know, this is the boundaries within I'm going to be working. And this is the life I want to have. And that means you have some strict rules, meaning that when you work, you're focused and you are productive, and it's about working smarter, not harder. It's not about more hours. It's about focused hours on your goal. And you can work actually a lot less if you are able to do that. And I know it's hard. It's a big mindset shift that I had to happen, because we've been in this business for 12 years now. But we've only been, you know, like successful and being able to live from it the last 6 years. And now we are working towards, you know, we are, you know, making the money. Now we're working towards how we can make even more, get to the next step. But again, having that lifestyle back and being able to go whenever we want to go, just like you said. And sometimes it's not possible. That's also part of, you know, being a business owner, is sometimes there are times where you can't go. There are things you have to do. But I think to me it's key. There is not like a definition to lifestyle. It's whatever you want it to be. And that's the freedom. To get your freedom, you have to make those rules in place. Like, I get to work and then I get to have the fun. Right?
Yeah, it's the irony. Craig Ballantyne talks about this, the perfect life formula.
I just finished the book again,
great.
A week ago.
He talks about this. Yeah, the discipline equals freedom. I just read, is it? It's right here, actually. I don't know The Art of Power about Thomas Jefferson. And it talks in there about how, you know, his life was so structured and how that gave him freedom. And you know, like, I can't work at the beach. So we went to Florida for a few weeks earlier this year. We go there in the winter to escape the winters here in Indiana. And, you know, every day I'd sit down about 10:30 and I'd try to work. And by about 11:30, I would think of my family out there on the beach having fun. I mean, it's 82 degrees in the middle of February. It's gorgeous. The beach has started to empty, you know, it's less crowded. I'm like, I can't do this.
Yeah, exactly.
So I finally, after about a week of trying to do that, I actually called one of the guys that works for me, and I just said, hey, listen, I'm available if you need to call me, but I'm not going to get any work done. I'm just taking the next week off, you know?
Yeah.
That's freedom. We did that after Christmas. We finished one of our big launches, you know, with Michael Hyatt. Mm-hmm. It ended December 15th. We had some loose ends to tie up, and we said, okay, from December 19th till January 4th, our company is closed. We're just completely closed. On January 4th at 7 p.m., I called one of the guys on my team and I said, I need another week. I just need another week. So I need you to take over, like, do a few things. Feel free to take off if you want to as well. I'm going to take off. Mm-hmm. You know, I need another week to just rest. And there's some stuff, you know, I was so tired the first week of that 2 weeks that I started relaxing the second week. And by the third week, I was like, now there's actually some errands I need to run and some things I need to do for the family. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take that week off as well. And I did. And it was like, I realized how many people have ever had that conversation in this, like, out of 100 people, less than two get to just decide at 7 p.m. on Sunday that they're going to take off the next 5 days.
Exactly.
And that's lifestyle. Like, my lifestyle said, I need another week off.
Yeah. That's the freedom. That's the real freedom of being able to do that. Absolutely. I mean, we are, you know, we are, I mean, this summer we are not really taking, you know, vacation off, but we left for 4 days and we just decided to go. And then we might decide to go, you know, we're thinking about it again because we can move our schedule around. And that's what I call, you know, like true freedom. Yeah. So it's not like, you're not working, you know, like you don't have anything, you know, you don't do anything and the business runs on its own. That could be nice, but you know, we are not there. Right.
I want to say something real quick. Now, sure. I'm all about busting misconceptions and myths. That's what I do for a living in a sense. On occasion, so I have this gut feeling there are people watching go, well, that's great that you get to go to Florida for 3 weeks. It's great that you get to do that. But like, I'm just starting my business. Trust me, I've been there, done that. When I started my first business, it was 7 days a week, 14, 15 hours a day. But you know what? Here's the thing. First of all, I loved every minute of it. Nobody was forcing me to do it. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it's like, we have a big product launch coming up. And so right now is busy, but you know what? I chose this time. I chose the month of August for this launch. Mm-hmm. Nobody else chose it for me. It was on our calendar. Like me and my team, we picked it based on what worked best for us. You know, we had a guy having a baby, so he was going to be out for a few weeks. And then this, you know, and we didn't want it. Labor Day kind of affected it, but it was like, no, we're going to do it. And this is when we're going to do it. But when I first started my business, like I still had this freedom. And that freedom was that I did calls on walks, that on, yes, I was working ridiculous hours, but I got to choose what I was doing and I got to choose who I worked with. I occasionally did work while watching a basketball game. And, you know, just be honest, like how many of us, when we're working in an office, get to watch basketball while working? Not very many, you know, and it was weird. I still had that freedom. Because I chose to grow that. There were three of us to get that business so that within 2 years, we had 52 employees and $18 million in revenue. We chose that. Could I have made it easier on myself and worked less hours and maybe we would have gotten there in 3 years? Sure. Probably could have. We chose to do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nobody made me there. No point did ever anybody ever say, you have to do this. And you know what? Sometimes being a business owner means, like, I remember the day I didn't sleep for 36 hours because our server crashed. That sucked. I didn't choose that technically. That's about the only time I didn't choose something.
Yeah. I think it's a great point. I mean, one of the things that I am realizing now that maybe we could have done differently, at least for me, I don't know for Olivier because he's so passionate about what he's doing that work doesn't really feel like work sometimes. So he could do it like 7 days. You notice? Yeah. So, and for me, it's a bit different because I'm also a mom. Well, he's a dad, but you know, I am a mom and you know, when kids are at home, I want it's to spend more time with them. It's a bit different. I have other things, you know, much more things to, you know, many more things to do than him, you know, around. And so for me, I think like also when you get started, you know, setting up limits, like you said, and rewarding yourself for the work that you've done. And that's something we didn't do for a long time. So like when we moved back from the US, I don't know if you know that, but we used to live in California. So when we moved back, we could have taken like 2 weeks off or even a month of vacation because we were working like crazy in the US and we did not. And the reason we did not is because we didn't have a job. We didn't have money coming in. So we had money on the bank because we had sold everything, but we didn't take that time to reward ourselves for all the work, past work done for 10 years. And I think that was a big mistake. So working hard's great, but rewarding yourself with simple things. It's just sometimes spending time with friends and family. It doesn't have to be spending money, but it's rewarding and it's encouraging to, you know, it's like to keep going because, you know, you get the reward, you know, like, and that's something I think we should have done. I mean, now we regret it that, you know, that we didn't do that.
It feels like you listen to the podcast that's not coming out till tomorrow. I mean, okay. I gotta tell you. No, I know you didn't because nobody's listened to it yet.
Yeah.
I have a podcast episode that literally comes out tomorrow, like as we're recording this. And the title of the podcast is Let's Celebrate. And it's a call to entrepreneurs. We have this habit where most of us are achievers and most of us are not satisfied. It's what my friend Hunter Ingram calls a healthy discontent. You know, it's funny. I'll just say this and then I'll get back to that point. I remember when my first company, when we hit $1,000 in a day, I remember what we did. We played Casey and the Sunshine Band's the celebration song. We danced around. We stayed up till it was 11:45 at night. We're refreshing the stats page. We almost crashed our server refreshing it so much. And we hit $1,000 and it was like, yeah. I remember when we hit $2,000 in a day. Mm-hmm. I remember when we hit $5,000 in a day. Again, so by that time we had like 30 employees. We put on party hats. The company shut down for the rest of the day. And, you know, like, or the company shut down the next day because it happened late at night. But we were calling each other, like waking people up at 10:30. You know, we were a young company. Everybody was so excited. We cracked open some champagne. You know what I don't remember? I don't remember when we hit 10,000. I don't remember when we hit 20,000. I don't remember when we hit 50,000. I don't remember. We had a few of them. I don't remember the very first time we hit $100,000 in sales in one single day. I don't remember that day. We lost that culture of celebration.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. So this came about because of two things. A guy that I heard speak the other day, and our daughter back in June flipped the calendar to July, looked at the calendar, and on a random Tuesday, I think it was July 27th, she wrote, "I love you day." And you can say, well, it's Valentine's Day, right? No, this is a day that she made up. What is I love you day? It's just to celebrate the people that you love. Because technically Valentine's Day is a romantic day. Just a day to do we have a day to celebrate? We have a day to celebrate mothers. We have a day to celebrate fathers. We have a day to just celebrate everybody that we love. Technically, no. She just made up a day. And we went out to dinner, and she was looking forward to it all month. Mm-hmm. So the anticipation, there's studies that show that actually, if you look at the brain chemistry of children before Christmas and on Christmas Day, the positive feelings in their brain, there's more dopamine in the days leading up to Christmas released as they think about Christmas than there actually is on Christmas Day.
On Christmas, yeah.
Okay, so there's this anticipation and then there's this excitement and then we celebrate it, we make a big deal of it. And so last night, no exaggeration, last night after midnight, my wife and I are talking, I said, I want to put on something on the calendar. So, you know, we already have Christmas, we have Thanksgiving, you got Halloween, we got stuff that Halloween's big for us because we throw a huge Halloween party. We got our birthdays and stuff, but like, here's what I want. I want to put on the calendar a day called Work From Home Day. And we celebrate just one day a year. We actually celebrate, go all out and celebrate the fact that we get to work from home. I want to put on there, we're going to make up a day called Little Sister Day or Big Sister Day. We're just going to celebrate because our daughter's a big sister. So that means we need to have a Little Brother Day later in the year. And then we were like, we're going to put on there Curly Hair Day. Because everyone else in my family, my wife and my two kids have awesome blonde curly hair and I got stuck with this. You know, we're going to put on there. We're going to celebrate the day that we started our business. We're going to make a big deal. We're going to celebrate the anniversary of our business. And then we're going to do this, you know, we're going to celebrate, we're just going to put these on the calendar and we're just going to have celebrations because today we're going to celebrate the fact that we work from home.
Yeah.
Nobody takes the time to do that because we're all as soon like I know what I'm doing on September 1st. September 1st, the day after our launch ends, I'm thinking about the next launch.
Yeah, exactly. We don't take the time. Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have to be big things. You don't have to celebrate your first $10,000 or $100,000. Celebrate that if you've quit your job, if you quit your full-time job and you work on your own now, don't ever forget the date. Most of us forget that date. Mm-hmm. Put that down in your calendar and make a big deal out of it every year. Celebrate. Mm-hmm. Go out to a fancy restaurant, open some champagne, do whatever you need to do. Take it off, wear a party hat. I don't know, but celebrate the day that you quit your full-time job. That's a big day.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were talking about this actually, I think a couple of days ago, a week ago, when we were, or maybe 2 weeks ago with Olivier, because he was saying, you know what? Last year, when we decided to take 2 weeks off, 2 weeks off for us is a lot because I do a lot of, I have a lot of meetings with leads and clients. So it's like 2 weeks where people cannot take appointments and that translates into less money. And he said, that month before, he said, you work like crazy. This was our biggest month. Why? Because there was this anticipation that, oh, we were going on vacation. So I was all pumped up to get things done. And he said, you know, like, it's, we never get as much done as when we have, I mean, at least to me, something to look forward to. Yeah. And I tend to do this now. It's like, when I'm doing this, it has a purpose. It's not just about making money. It's that freedom that it's going to give me to go and see my kids that are on vacation right now, if I want to. Like, if we if we wanted, we could take the car and go now. That's the lifestyle that we want you to be able to have, you know, being home when the kids get from school and stuff like that. So definitely celebrating. We don't do enough of that, but I look forward to the, is it a podcast or a video? It's a podcast?
It's a podcast, which actually it will be a video because everything I do has three forms. I mean, most of you probably know that, but in case you don't know, that's the secret to content creation is I record a video, I strip the audio becomes the pod. Sometimes it's video first, then podcast. Sometimes it's podcast first, then video. And then the audio, if it has good reaction, we get some good vibes from the community, that is taken and turned into a blog post by somebody on my team who basically doesn't transcribe it, but puts it into written format. Now it's three for one. I mean, technically you could do, if you, I don't do this for various reasons, but if you really wanted, you could do live video into a YouTube video, into a podcast, into a blog post. And so there's just, you want to create a crap ton of content over the next year.
Here we go. Recycle your content. Absolutely. So actually it's a great transition because the reason I mentioned that is because I've seen that you have the video, the audio, and then you have the copy, which I like to read, but I also like to watch the video. I get distracted. I tend to get distracted by the audio. So there is a little bit of everybody, but there is one particular video that I really, really liked. And that's the one that's called Can Affiliate Marketing Change the World? And I really encourage people to go and listen to it. And we'll share the link definitely. So let me just read what I read because I can't really remember. I said, you help business owners leverage the power to grow their business. Why affiliate marketing? Can you share with us the power of being an affiliate and running an affiliate program? And is that for every type of business? And when is a good time to start? I know when people get started with an online course or a membership or product, they want to start an affiliate program and then they want to get as many affiliates as possible. And I said, no, make sure it works first. Yep. So you have some members. So if you can tell us a bit about that aspect, going back to business here.
So you mentioned that video and I mean, the gist of it, and we'll definitely, I encourage you to link to it because, but my premise is like, okay, changing the world's a pretty big concept, but it's like, how can affiliate marketing do that? Well, if you recommend a product to somebody and it transforms their life, you have completely transformed the world. And that's a pretty big freaking deal. So, and then scale that to hundreds or thousands of people and you've really made, put a dent in the universe, as Steve Jobs said. As far as, who can do affiliate marketing? You mentioned, does it work for every business? I'll put it this way. I've never encountered a business that it doesn't work for. Okay. We have students. So I mentioned we teach how to do affiliate marketing, but we also teach how to run affiliate programs. On the how to run affiliate program side, I mean, we've got every niche you could possibly conceive of. On the affiliate marketing side, like how to make money with affiliate marketing, in our No Product, No Problem course, I mean, there are some of the most niche-y. We have a lady who's in there who's killing it. Her entire niche, this is all she does, is traveling to Key West, Florida.
Well, that's very specific.
Okay, that's just think for a second. Think for a second here. Here's the world, right? There's Key West.
Key West. Yeah.
Okay. That's it. That little tiny dot is Key West. It's not even that big. Okay. Yeah. It's like half. I should have used the more pointy part of that marker. That's how small her niche is. She's doing really well with affiliate marketing.
Yeah.
real estate agents, fitness instructors, people who blog about raw foods. We got raw foodies. What do we have? Teachers, people who teach teachers. It's less than a quarter of the people in either of our courses are what you would call internet marketers. They all have websites. Actually, you know what? Not even every student in No Product, No Problem starts off with a website. I just got an email today because one of the things I do with all of our new students is I look them up, find their website, read about them for 3 or 4 minutes, and just record a quick personal video. You know, it takes me about 7 minutes to do. And that's one of the many reasons why our retention rate's like 99.7%. But I could not find this lady's website. First time I've ever not been able to find this lady's website. And so I emailed her and I recorded this video. I said, hey, I can't find your website. So all I know about you is what I found on LinkedIn. You know, looks like you're in Chicago. She's like, yeah, I don't have a website yet. So we even have people without websites yet that are getting into this. And that's when it's a great time to get into it because you want to start affiliate marketing like day one. Here's the thing. If a store opened up across town, it could be a furniture store. It could be Walmart. You know, it could be Target. It could be whatever. They all have one thing in common, and that is they sell stuff on the first day. But we've been told as content creators that we're supposed to create content and give. There's a book that's, ironically, it's propping up the bottom of my monitor right now because I had to lift my monitors on a whim today because they're interfering with my laptop Wi-Fi. Nobody knows why. Craziest thing, the channels are interfering. So I actually had to prop my monitors up in 2 inches, and I don't have anything else that props them up 2 inches. And that book is Jab, 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 Right Hook. And the premise is, you know, you jab. Well, no, I'm not saying you come out with that right hook, but you need to have stuff. You need to condition your audience to expect to buy stuff, because if you're running an online business, if you're running a hobby blog, I don't really care what you, but if you're running an online business, you have to get this into your ethos, into your mind, that businesses make money. It's okay. Walmart doesn't apologize for selling stuff. The furniture store doesn't apologize for selling stuff. You have to condition your audience to buy, to click and to buy. And here's the thing. If you don't do that early on, then they you've conditioned them never to buy.
To get free stuff.
Expect free stuff. You're going to get burnt out because you're not making any money. Businesses monetize. But early on, you don't have a product because you don't even know what your audience wants to buy. Mm-hmm. So affiliate marketing is a great way to get into that because you can promote other people's stuff. You don't have to spend 100 hours making a course or a product. You don't have to manufacture in China. You promote stuff without creating it. And you go, interesting. My audience bought this at this price point, but they didn't buy that at that price point. What does that tell me about my audience? And you start to learn stuff about your audience, because I could tell you all the demographic information about your audience right now. You still don't know what they're going to have a financial transaction about. And here's the key. I'm not talking about somebody's worth as a human being, but to your business, an email subscriber is worth this. The only thing that's worth anything is financial transactions. So what I'm saying is a person is worthless to your business if there isn't a financial transaction at some point, and affiliate marketing is the best way early on. Now, the flip side of that, you ask, should somebody have affiliates on day one for their company? I also just released a podcast episode, ironically, about this, because I just got asked this question by Elle Cole, who's an interior designer. She's like, well, my product launches later this year. Should I have affiliates? I'm like, no, not on day one. So what we recommend is that you launch internally first. Then you, so depending upon your list size, your audience size, you might segment your audience. So let's just say you have a list of 1,000 people. What I would personally do is launch to about 300 people, then another 300 people, then the last 400 or, you know, whatever, 330, it doesn't matter. I would do 3 launches separated, the start point separated by about 4 to 7 days. So you can learn stuff as you go and you can tweak and you can change. Then I would take a little bit of a break and I would step back and go, okay, let's just say you had a sales video. And for whatever reason, like everyone's dropping off your sales video at the 7-minute and 14-second mark. Well, you need to go look at your sales video. A sales video redo is not something you can typically do in a few days. It might take you a couple of weeks. So you take a little bit of time off. Then you start running cold traffic, meaning Facebook or LinkedIn ads to your offer. You run those. You just keep running them, you know, evergreen, 10 people a day, 50 people a day, and you start learning stuff. You start optimizing. Every day you're getting better because most of the tweaks you're going to make are, I'll give you an example. We tweaked one of our webinar registration pages the other day from how much I made in 1 month to how much I made in 1 week. It's technically the same number. If you multiply the weekly number by 52 and divide it by 12, you get the same number, right? But that's, you know, it was just messaging. We went from like an 87 to a 95% registration rate, opt-in rate on the webinar page. That's huge. It's 8% gain. You know, I mean, it was massive with that little tweak. So a lot of times it's just those little things that you're doing as you go along that you're learning. And so you do that to cold traffic. Then you work with a couple of affiliates one-on-one. These are people who promote you because it's you. So I want, like, Natalie, you're going to work with Natalie's friends, not like this guy over here who's asking, what's the EPC on this offer? No, that you do not want to work with them at first. You want to work with people who are doing it for you. They don't care if they make 4,000, 7,000, you know, 9,000. If you have a 4% conversion rate or a 6% conversion rate, they're doing it for you. You're now optimizing, and then you rinse and repeat that as needed. The cool thing about this is not like step one, then step two, then step three, then step four. You can do these sequentially and there can be some overlap. And the typical process takes anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. I've seen it done quicker. I've seen it done longer. I've seen people who want to get it really dialed in. They take a year before they bring on affiliates. You know, so for us, we've done this so many times that for us, it took about 7 months, you know, with our, like after 7 months, I was like, cool, we're ready. Let's start bringing them on. And here we are, we've got our big launch coming up, but we've been through that process and optimized it so that I can predict what this is going to do. I know this is a profitable thing for our affiliates and we're comfortable with it, but you cannot do that on day one.
Yeah. I mean, this is awesome. What you just shared, I have never heard of it. I mean, you know, segmenting like 300 by 300, that is super smart because, you know, it gives you time, like you said, to do these small tweaks because you don't want to change everything either because otherwise you don't know what works, what doesn't work, right?
Yeah, and if this is your fifth product, you can accelerate that.
Absolutely.
If you're a fifth product and you've got a list of 20,000 people, I might launch it to a list of 2,000 and then might just do the next 18,000. You know, and I might start, you're going to notice that the process as you go through is going to be hyper accelerated. You know, you might even just go ahead and put the launch date with your affiliates on the calendar 5 months later and you're fine. It's just, if your very first product and you just, I mean, the reality is like we learn the thing about marketing is, I learn the craziest things every time I do a campaign. I think I'm pretty smart at this. And the reality is the only reason why I'm any good at this is because I'm willing to be wrong half the time.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like public school, private school doesn't matter. The modern education system is a terrible precursor to running a small business because it teaches you that if you're wrong, you fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
Think about it. I'm wrong. I mean, of the split tests I've run, 50% of the time, maybe 49. I was probably right 51% of the time. 49% of the time, I was wrong about what was going to win, A versus B. Does that make me a terrible marketer? No, because guess what?
It makes you smart, actually.
Everything we're running right now was a winner. We're not running any losers anymore because we've picked the winners.
Exactly.
And so, like, but think about it. Modern education tells me that if I only get it right 51% of the time, that's an F. Like, that's a bad F. You're the dumb kid in class.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're
so
right.
So apparently I'm the dumb kid in class, and yet it's working all right.
And I think that's one of the reasons why also people are so have this mental block, this fear of failure. It's not just about what people are going to think, but it's because we've been conditioned to think that failing is bad. I mean, in US, it's a bit better because, you know, they, you know, we've been in US, so we know that spirit where it's actually, they encourage people, like when you start a business and it fails and you start another one, you don't have problems with the bank, yeah. right? Well, try that in France. When you fail, you suck. So go find a job, because they're like, here, failing is not seen as, you know, you fail until you succeed, right? So it's not being seen as a step, you know, towards, you know, achieving something. It's more like, well, you were wrong, you know, do something else. So, yeah. And that, I mean, I totally agree with you. And that's the reason why so many people have these mental blocks, this fear of doing, because they don't want to fail.
Exactly.
Awesome. So let me see if I have something else here before we wrap up. I think we kind of talked about this. I wanted you to share how you manage to balance life and business. But do you have anything else you want to add?
You know, I do have, I want to make sure we don't forget this, put together a special page for your audience, oh, yeah. audience, Natalie.
Yeah.
MattMcWilliams.com/lifestyle. And I've got two things that we've actually, one of which we've never given away before. The first one, I've got an ebook that we wrote called The 10 Benefits of Affiliate Marketing Before You Have a Product. This is what we've been talking about. You don't know what your audience is willing to buy. And we go through these benefits. It's not, there's actually some that I've never shared before that are really powerful benefits. The second one, I've just finished working on this actually last week. And it's a free report we put together about how I made over $10,000 in passive income in 1 month from a single page of my website. So MattMcWilliams.com/lifestyle. Go get both of those. And this is my thank you for having me on, Natalie.
Well, thank you so much. I will definitely put the links. The links will be in the emails as well. And I will also put a link to MattMcWilliams.com where we can see your podcast and videos and right. how you actually organize this. I mean, we can really learn from this. I really loved it.
Yeah. But to answer your question.
Yeah.
I want to answer your question.
Yeah.
How do I balance business and life? I think it's, I don't mean this the wrong way. I think it's actually a faulty question.
Yeah, I don't think there was a way to balance. Balanced.
Exactly. Like today, yeah. they're massively yep. out of balance.
Yep.
And in February, they were massively out of balance because I didn't, you know, in December, they were massively out of balance because I didn't think about work for 3 weeks. I think to sort of answer the underlying question, I think that for me, it is the rules. You know, for instance, I have a rule. 4 days a week, my hard cutoff is 5:30. That is my hard cutoff. And what that means is typically at 5:24, I'm working so feverishly, it's not even funny. And at 5:30, I go, if you ever watch one of those cooking shows where they have like 30 minutes to make a dish and they go hands
yes,
off.
Hands off.
At
yeah.
5:30, it's like yeah. hands off. And then I go upstairs for 10 minutes. I put on some white noise and I meditate just to bring me down from that. So that then at 5:42 or so, I'm all there for my family. That's one. It sounds really crazy, but that's like,
no, I think it's super smart.
My family has me except for 1 day a week from 5:40 or so until 8:30, you know, bedtime. I'm there mm-hmm. for almost 3 hours with them. I don't miss a soccer practice. I don't miss a soccer game. I've never missed one. I've never missed almost anything important. And this is actually literally the first time I've ever missed a family vacation. And it's just a 36-hour vacation. So I don't feel as bad about it. It's really just setting those boundaries, you know, and it's about the other thing is like, I think you have to remove the guilt from both sides. I cannot feel guilty when I do this interview that means I can't spend time with my family. And I cannot feel guilty thinking that the world is going to come to an end if after this interview, I were to go play soccer for 30 minutes and didn't answer that question from my team. I can't feel guilty either way. If you remove guilt and shame from the equation, then you really will find that over the course of a month, there's balance. The other thing is, yeah, like I just said, don't look at things on a daily basis and go, well, I work 12 hours a day. My life is so out of balance.
No. Absolutely.
Look at things like take pan out and look, okay, look at things maybe by 2 months at a time, you know, and then ultimately look and see was life balanced. Well, you know, you had 3-4 day weekends in that 2 month period. You also had five nights where you worked at night. Was that balanced? Well, overall, it's pretty balanced.
Yeah.
So just don't take the guilt out of both sides.
Absolutely.
That's the biggest thing you can do for yourself and for your psyche.
And I think that it's important that whether you're making money or not, even if you're, especially I want to say, if you're getting started, to just put these rules from day one. It's not because you're not making money that you cannot do that. Otherwise, because running a business is running a marathon, right?
Yep.
So you're in it for the long run. So build these rules. And they are hard, like you said, the guilt because we are not making money and stopping at 5:30, like you said, you know, that can be difficult for people. But that's critical for your sanity, you know, family, your family life, and for being in it in the long run, basically.
You got it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Matt. It was so nice to meet you and to chat with you. I think we got some great stuff about lifestyle, affiliate marketing. I definitely want to check your ebook when it's ready. Well, it should be ready now by the time we're here. And thank you so much. Again, it's mattmattwilliams.com/lifestyle, and I will definitely put a link.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you. And tell Olivia I say hello.
I definitely will.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.